السلام عليكم ورحمة الله وبركاته نحمده ونصلي ونسلم على رسوله الكريم أما بعد أهلا وسهلا ومرحبا to the المشرق program. Unfortunately, today Maulana Junaid will not be able to join us as he is preoccupied. And inshallah, a little bit later we shall be having Brother Idris Khamisa. And we shall be now, inshallah, we shall be joined by Brother Idris Khamisa, who is on the line with us. Uncle Idris, assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.
Wa alaikum assalam wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. It's so good to hear you.
How are you keeping, Uncle Idris?
Alhamdulillah, you know, Allah is merciful. But even like this, a Muslim, you know, feels for the others. I'm very, very concerned about what's happening to the Ummah globally. I'm very, very concerned what's happening in our own country. May Allah protect everyone. Inshallah, I pray that situations that can be dealt with around the table should be dealt with, that situations should not escalate into violence where innocent lives are lost and innocent people are galvanized into doing things that go against what our human nature is supposed to be.
Yes, indeed. It is a sad state of affairs currently. We're looking in South Africa and around South Africa. And yes, indeed, we should make dua for all the brothers and all those people around the world who are suffering from injustices. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala make it easy for them. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala help them out in their times of difficulty. And may Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala fulfill their needs as well. Uncle Idris, what topic will we be discussing today, inshallah?
Yeah, today I want to talk about something that is becoming really a malady or a disease. The whole issue about husbands especially, and of course wives, sometimes threatening, threaten their relationships, threatening to divorce, threatening to leave, and threat. And we need to look at the psychology behind it. We need to look at the mindset of those that issue those threats. We need to look at what impacts on the other person when threats are issued to them, you know, and why are we doing this, and in the end, what is the personality who does that, and what are the regrets of that individual who persists in doing that, only to know much later in the end, you know what, he is not in a position of power, authority, he's just using and abusing his own situation. And there are no winners when this happens.
Yes, indeed. We look at, you know, we've heard of many cases and we've seen many a times many people threaten to divorce or they threaten with different things, and how the impact that it has on many of the, on the marriage itself, on, and especially if there's children involved. You know, it can be really devastating sometimes, especially, you know, when they threaten to divorce and they threaten to take the children away, and a lot of threats follow, and it impacts not only on the families as well, but it impacts on the children as well.
Yeah, absolutely. You know, it's really, I mean, can you imagine any individual in any home walking on eggshells, so concerned about their speech, so concerned that, you know, I mustn't upset my husband, he'll get upset. Oh, and as a result, it impacts on the personality. I mean, imagine you become a prisoner of your own thoughts, and a marriage, you know, is supposed to be a garment unto each other. When you cannot protect each other, where one protects the other's vulnerability is to beautify and whatnot. So this is a very sad thing, and I must tell you, and I would want listeners to either send a text message or whatever to share the concerns, because I know there are many, many people that are going through this anxiety at the moment.
Okay, we'll just remind our listeners, inshallah, you can WhatsApp your message or you can SMS. The SMS line is 48855. You can WhatsApp to 072-786-1548, and we'll also take calls, inshallah. You can call in on 011-854-1548. Idris, by looking at the threatening, in reality, we look at Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala states in the Quran, Ya ayyuhal ladhina amanu qulu qawlan sadida, that all you who believe, speak clearly. Now, what happens is that when people threaten, what is the reason for threats, first of all?
You see, the person who threatens, is a person that has got, he's got psychological issues, or she. You have low self-esteem. And people who threat are people who want to be control freaks, as it were. And you find that sometimes, you know, is often the result of their own upbringing, what they've been exposed to, what they've experienced as a child growing up. And this becomes normative for them, something that they have learned to accept, become part of who they are. And it's about the whole issue of power, you see. It's not a power game. Marriage is not a power game. It's not, you know, when you say you are in charge as an amir, he's not in charge as if you're a dictator. Whatever I say goes. You know, he's showing consideration and sensitivity. Our Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam was the amir of the household, but throughout his amirship, you'll find people speak about his compassion, his leniency, his love, and so on and so forth. So I think this is a very, I mean, you know, can you imagine that young girl who has married and she left her home, now her parents are old and fragile, they do not have enough room to accommodate her, and the husband tells her, you know what, if you don't shut your mouth, I'll kick you out of the house. Now, I mean, how can you, anyone speak like that, you know? I mean, you don't have to be a person of faith, a person who believes in doing that. Sometimes women also threaten, they said, well, I'll deny you intimacy in the bedroom if you do not buy me this and buy me that. And, I mean, the thing here is this, you know, we got to show compassion and reciprocal understanding, because isn't it beautiful that when you die, the person that prays most for you is your spouse. Then inshallah, Allah will accept that. Imagine they say, yes, Ya Allah, forgive my husband, my darling husband. He was such a wonderful human being. He was a person of kindness. He taught me compassion. He was generous of heart. He was loving. He was caring. He had taqwa. He had a good standing in community, but what he was a community was nothing compared to who he was at home. A man of true dignity, an upright individual, never hurt me either with his words or silences, neither with his hand, neither psychologically or emotionally. I mean, and with tears flowing from my eyes, you think Allah is not going to accept the dua of this bereaved wife?
Yes, indeed, you know, looking at marriages when they break down, especially, and you know, we know the hadith of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, where Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam has stated that the dua of the mazloom, that person who has been oppressed, is readily accepted by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and the arsh of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala shakes until that dua is accepted. So when threats are made, especially, you know, during an argument, first of all, how do we analyze a threat that is given by either the husband or the wife?
You see, if you look at it, the whole thing is this, that when a person issues a threat, now, it's quite clear that he does not see the relationship as an equal kind of thing. I don't mean equal in terms of gender equity and whatnot. I'm not talking about that. He sees it purely that I'm in charge, right? And he wants it his way. He shows a person that is completely insensitive to the other. He shows a person that is extremely, extremely selfish. He shows a person that has no idea about the prophetic example of Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. He shows a person that has no idea about, you know, the value of the individual. And he shows clearly a person that has little or no understanding about nikah, has no understanding about the female psyche, has no understanding of, others. And it's quite clear that individual has issues, you know.
Yes, we've got a question that come in. What about those wives who threaten their husband? You had mentioned earlier that intimacy in the bedroom, that they threaten that if you don't do this here, then I will not allow you in the bedroom. Or they throw up tantrums when it comes to certain things, and they threaten with certain things.
Yes, that also happens. You know, it's a two-way street. I mean, don't get me wrong. But I've got many more calls. I mean, the thing is, that is also, whether a threat comes from our sisters or our brothers, it is completely, completely unacceptable. Completely unacceptable. I know of instances where for fear of intimidation, for fear of the wife, for fear of what she's going to say, that sons go and see the mothers quietly, privately, would phone them up. Because why? Because the wife will get upset. Yeah, why are you speaking to your mother? What's the need to speak to your mother? You know, I mean, it's just, you know, really, you know, personally, I cannot believe the immaturity in many of our relationships. I cannot believe the naivety, sometimes the stupidity, and the infantile and imbecile behavior of some of our brothers and our sisters. So threats coming from either source is unacceptable. Threats from the woman or the brother. But what worries me is this. Yea, the woman who has given her life to a marriage, right? Her parents are fragile and old. The woman has done nothing. She has never worked in her life. The only thing she knows is what it is to be a housewife. And she's got no one to fend for her. And the man tells her, if you don't do this, I'll kick you out of the house in the middle of the night. Where does she go to? Of course, there is another side to it which I want to talk about. That remember, in the end, we've got to believe completely and 100% that Allah is the provider. Allah is the provider. Allah will never forsake anyone. Nothing happens except the will of Allah. So we should not allow threats to really affect you. And we need to also assert ourselves. But there is a deeper point. The point is this, that before you marry, I always say, do pre-marital counseling. Get to know the temperament of your spouse, the mental agility, to understand his patience or lack of it. And he must understand, or she must understand, what do you see as my role in the relationship? What should my relationship be with my mother after I marry you? Because you'd be surprised, you'd expect any young person of faith, a believer, to understand that Jannah lies beneath the feet of the mother, not the feet of the wife. That the relationship with the mother is a primary relationship. And something that any woman that truly loves her husband would allow her husband, inshallah, to have those relationships.
Yes, indeed. We've got another question that has come in this way. It says that, you know, my husband, from now and every now and then, he tells me in an argument or wherever that where the door is, and always threatens to send me back home. Says, this lady says, I am married for 1 year now with three kids, and this is what he does whenever he gets angry.
I mean, you know, the thing is, I know I want to make a suggestion, but very few husbands will be receptive to it. I think, you know, the critical thing, you need to go for mediation, or rather for counseling, some intervention, and so that, you know, this case, you can't do this. I mean, you know, what do you do? I mean, you think the tears of the woman in this situation is in vain? And this is something that is grossly unacceptable. Something you got to stand up to it. I don't mean in an aggressive way, in a way that when the husband is, or the person inflicting or threatening, when he is or she is in a better mood, to sit down and discuss his issues. Because one of the prerequisites of any marriage should be that whenever you and I go through any disagreement, we must sit down, have a conversation about it, and we need to see how best we can find answers. So Allah make it easy for the sister.
I mean, we have another question that has come in also. It says that this lady says she's in a situation where she has to tiptoe around her husband, especially in Ramadan. And she even has to warn the kids at times to stay away from him because of his bad temper. What does she do?
And you know, irony of it all, the best time in any home should be the month of Ramadan. The best time, where the husband should be the most loving, generous, caring husband, where the wife should be more compassionate, caring, loving. That's the best time. I mean, you know, I mean, can you imagine children also growing up in fear? I mean, you know, you'll be surprised. The number of kids who cry themselves to sleep and say, Ya Allah, Ya Allah, why was I born into this home? Why was I born into this home? And they say, Ya Allah, I'd rather die than to be in this home. Now, can you imagine children growing up like that? Look at the mother, her protective nature, protecting the children from the wrath of the husband. So these things, you know, and there's no such thing as I'm like that. No one is born angry. You know, you need to deal with the cause of your anger. You need to find out why you are angry. Yet, one of the ironies of it, the same husband who comes home and, you know, unleashes his anger on the person he's supposed to love, yet outside the home, he's all generous, caring, loving. What a man. What a man.
Yes, indeed. You know, we need to look at another aspect which Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has instructed us in the Quran. And we see that Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam also gave advice with regards to this, is anger. That a sahabi came to Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, and this being the month of Ramadan, you know, to avoid becoming angry, this is the reward for it is even greater in this month here. Where Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, the sahabi asked Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam that, oh Rasulullah, advise me. And he gave advice that, لا تغضب, do not become angry. So I think for our brothers as well as our sisters outside, that the best advice is that when we become angry, we should follow the sunnah of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. When you become angry, instead of carrying on with the argument, rather walk away from that which is angering you. And this will cause more happiness in the home, inshallah.
You know, that's true. But, you know, at the same token, naturally, you know, all human beings, there are some things that might irritate you, upset you a bit. Now, if my wife knows that some things irritate me, so, I mean, you know, leave me, you know. Don't keep on, you know, poking me, nagging me and whatnot. You know? And similarly, I know some things my wife is sensitive about. I must not get involved and discuss it. I'm not going to change her, so she mustn't try to change me. Sometimes there are some people that also are provocative, you know, provocative. But it does not mean you've got to be unreasonable.
Yes, indeed. I've received another WhatsApp message saying that my husband always, whenever he sees a small fault in me, then immediately he makes a big thing out of it. He doesn't take into consideration and he doesn't explain to me when I'm going wrong. Rather, he'll throw a fit and tell me that I'm going in, he'll perform. And he won't say that I'm going wrong and he will not show me where I'm going wrong. How do I deal with him?
You know, I mean, that, you know, it's very easy if you want to get angry, but I think you need to be much more supportive, you know. And you know, look at this way. Our Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam used words to this effect that believers are mirrors unto each other. And it's such a powerful metaphor. And that you need to, that these mirrors shows that you recognize the goodness in your partner and identify areas of concern. To tell your wife, you know, my darling, you know, there are so many things I love about you, and I've told you this. I love you for the way you take care of the children, the way you look after the house, and the way you cook, and the way you respond to visitors. Alhamdulillah, alhamdulillah. But something concerns me. I'm not too sure if you're aware of it. There's this particular thing. Sometimes you do this. I don't know whether you're aware. I find, you know, I think, you know, to a person who does not know you, may appear to be rude, you know. If you need to put things across palatably to people so that they, you know, as such, are able to receive it. Because it's very, very important that we need, you know, to support each other and applaud, show gratitude when things are going well, and acknowledge areas of strength at the same time, share with them areas of concern, you know.
Yes, indeed. But Idrispa, you spoke earlier a little bit, and I think this also brings much sadness to me. And I see another message that's coming here that, you know, this lady says, my son, I hardly see him, and sometimes I don't see him for months at end, because my son is threatened by his wife. She says in the beginning of the marriage, she would pack her bags and leave when the children came, she would not allow the kids to see me. And now he's so obedient to his wife that he's forgotten about his mom, his siblings, and he does not want to hear anything from his parents, and he does not want to discuss anything. And they say that they feel like they've lost their son.
You know what? Let me tell you, this case is a case in many, many homes. I can tell the mother that your son still loves you, but the only thing is, I think he fears his wife. And this is a very, very sad thing, you know. And I don't understand women today, you know, why they adopt that particular attitude. And, you know, suddenly what happens, the girl's parents are angels, they're beautiful human beings, but the in-laws are demonic, they're terrible people. I mean, in the end, you know, Happiness is not a selfish emotion. You never do that. Never, ever come between your husband and his own family. And I can tell you, sisters, if you want your husband to die for you and to love you, when your husband doesn't keep in contact with his family, remind him. Say, Muhammad, did you phone mommy today? I spoke to mommy. Please phone mommy. You know, did you phone your mother? Did you phone your brothers? Let us invite them home. Let us do this. I tell you, when a woman does that, the man will go crazy. He'll fall in love with her a million times. A million times. They need to understand that. They need to understand that. You need to ask your husband, my love, my darling, my shishib babulina, what is it that will make you happy? And you tell her, and vice versa. Please. You know what? You know, I can't believe this is happening, but it is a reality. Nothing really shocks me these days.
Gee, indeed. Okay, we go for a short ad break. Inshallah, we'll be back after the ad break.
Inshallah.
Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. Welcome back to the Al Mashriq program. With us on the line, we have Idris Bhai. Idris Bhai, assalamu alaikum.
Walaikum assalam wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.
Okay, Idris Bhai, we carry on with our program. We were discussing marriages in a day. I've received another WhatsApp that has come on. It says, please advise on how to deal with a situation where the husband is not on the same rules for bringing up the children and keeps keeping secrets from the wife with regards to the whereabouts about the children. It's causing a major problem in the house and marriage.
You see, the very important thing there is that the husband and wife, you know, at the point, you know, they need to discuss issues. When they do this to the children, remember, one of the main four reasons why divorces take place is when the mother and father have a different philosophy how to bring up the child. When the philosophy is completely, completely different. You know what? This is unfair because in the end, there are no winners. She's not a winner and she's not a loser. Everyone is a loser. Kids lose, they lose. What happens? This also has a profound impact on their own relationship, the kids, when they grow up and when they get married. I think this requires serious intervention, requires counseling and support, and should not allow the situation to go. It's getting out of control now.
Yes, indeed. And another question that comes in this lady says, we've heard of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam showing how to live the perfect life and how to deal with our spouses. What about men who refuse to do any work at home? They say their work is only in their workplace. When they come home, they are not supposed to do anything. How do you deal with a man like that?
You see, I think many of us are guilty of that. And we are very selective. We talk about Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is to help with household chores. The moment the call for prayer came, he left immediately. He dropped everything and he went for prayer. Because then suddenly between household chores and prayer, prayer became a priority. Now it's very, very important that, we are all products of our home environment. If you grew up in a home where you're not expected to help with household chores, it becomes very difficult for you to do it much later. It does not mean you're not receptive to change. But I know of individuals who may not have been exposed to it in their own homes, but when they did get married, you find they were very receptive and they were helping household chores. And I've seen that in a growing number of homes. But the important thing is this. Therefore, it's important, very, very important for husband and wife to develop a family routine, and part of the routine is a sharing of chores. The kids themselves all support each other. Because one of the things that sometimes, you know, it's a chauvinistic thing. Sometimes what we really do, we diminish, what our wives do. We take it for granted. We think it's nothing. And, you know, one or two days when they're unwell, suddenly you find like a tornado has hit the home. You realize, my gosh, was my wife doing all of this and I took her for granted? Whilst you're going out to for your rosy and risk, alhamdulillah, may Allah make it easy for you. She's also playing a very, very critical role, an important role, and you and I know the status of women in Islam.
Yes, indeed. And, you know, there is another plague that we see that is plaguing the Muslim Ummah at this moment in time, and this is a very, there's a WhatsApp message that is coming, and this is very heartbreaking is the influence of narcotics. This lady says that my husband has become distant, and she found out that he's under the influence of narcotics, but she does not want to leave, and she has a child from this marriage. How does she deal with his aggressiveness when he's not on his drugs and when he's not taking these narcotics?
You know, the issue of drugs has become really a disease has affected so many homes. But people must realize that the person taking narcotics, it does not only affect him, it also affects people around him. It affects his wife, it affects his children, because all of them require some degree of rehabilitation. Now, the person is taking narcotics, he has to get help. And remember this, but narcotics is a situation in which if the person taking it is not prepared to seek that help, if he does not acknowledge his own situation and problem, then you are wasting your time. It must come from him. He must understand that what he's doing is wrong. And only when he's asked for the help, then help can be given. Otherwise, you cannot impose that help on him.
Yes, indeed. Also, another question comes on my screen, and it says that how do you deal with a husband who says, you know, he has anger issues and he accuses you and he says your parents didn't bring you up properly, always screaming and not prepared to see who's right and who's wrong or to discuss any issues, and he always thinks that he's right?
You see, one of the things that maybe one day we will speak about it one day is the whole issue of emotional quotient. How we need to develop that, you see. The whole thing is this, that in any situation in a marriage, once there is an issue that creates disagreement, you isolate the issue and you deal with it. You do not condemn the person. Remember, Nabi Sallallahu has reminded us, you despise the action, not the individual. Now, when people got a low EQ, emotional quotient, what they do, they'll throw everything, outside the, all the toys out and everything else, like a little child getting into tantrums. And we need to manage these emotions. And therefore, Nabi Sallallahu also reminded us, words to effect, that the brave man is not a person that uses his physical energies, or hurts someone. The person that restrains himself. So the question of restraint, the question of self-control, that is so, so fundamental.
Yes, indeed. And there's another question comes on here, and it says that how do you deal with one's husband who watches pornography?
You know, when I tell people this, some of them seem to be shocked. This pornographic addiction has become a real problem in our community. It has affected people from different walks of life. It affected people that are knowledgeable in Islam. It affected the lay person. And it's become really a malady and something that we need to deal with. Now, the whole thing is this, that, I know of people that help people with this kind of addiction. I can also help them with a series of questions, look at the intensity of the addiction, and we can show them how they can, wean themselves off it. So Allah forbid that whilst they're watching pornography, that most comes there, they die at that time. And therefore the dua should all be made, Ya Allah, let me not die when I'm committing a sin. Let me die whilst I'm committing an act of goodness. And so the issue of pornography can lead to infidelity, it can lead to fantasizing, it could lead to aggression, violence, crime, and a whole range of issues.
We've got another question here. It says that my husband has said that if I do the same thing, then he won't look at pornography. Is this true or is it not true?
You see, that's not true. Because what happens, there are different levels of pornography. Remember, there comes a point when the people would watch pornography, they watch it to look at the intimacy. Then they would go to another level where they look at issues that goes far beyond that. And each time it increases in intensity, it increases in fantasy, and it increases in dehumanizing the other. That is, what he's saying is not true.
Yes, indeed. And I think also, Idris, by that, you know, looking at this whole issue of pornography, indeed, it's amongst the work of Shaitan. Shaitan makes us dissatisfied with our own bodies as well as with our partner's bodies. And
it makes
us feel that, you know, that those are better than our spouses whom are halal for us. And what happens is it will lead to zina. As we know, Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam has said that there is zina of different parts of the body as well. There's zina of the eyes, there's zina of the hands, there's different parts of zina. So, and the Quran instructs us very explicitly that وَلَا تَقْرَبُ الزِّنَا إِنَّهُ كَانَ فَاحِشًا, that stay away from zina, for verily it is a very severe evil. So we should understand from this here, and this should be an advice that for those who are watching pornography especially, that they should consider this as zina and they should keep away from it.
In fact, what happens is this, then, you know, once you watch pornography, then you regard your wife just as an object, you know, an object, just to satisfy your lust. You show no sensitivity to her and to her needs. Again, it is almost, you know, a smack of arrogance, aggression, and I would say a degree of violence also.
Yes, indeed. In respect to say, what would you? There's another question here. General advice to any couples that before they get married, what advice would you give a couple?
I think for me, firstly, to any couple before they get married, is you've got to go for marital counseling, number one. Secondly, when you're making choices, you've got to make sure that the person you marry has the temperament that you like. You've got to look at yourself and ask yourself, what are your fundamental needs? What will make you happy? And see whether that person will be able to give that to you. The other important advice is get to know the family he comes from. You know, they say, birds of a feather flock together, because you do not marry an individual, you marry the whole family. The other advice must be, is to look at the individual's character and to look at whether, who are his friends, what are his beliefs, is he a regular with Salah, and in terms of, does he have relationships that are, you know, against Islam, and so on and so forth. So there are many things you need to look at. And you also need to look at where you can improve as an individual, what qualities you need to possess to make a home work. If you are a person that is spoiled, you are impatient, then you're going to have a real problem. If you've got whatever you want, whenever you want, you're also going to have a problem. So it's very important for you to adapt, or they say you die.
Gee, indeed. In this way, we are coming to the end of the program. Any final advice you would like to give our listeners?
Before I give the final advice, I want to remind our wonderful listeners throughout the world about our excellent marriage conference coming up in 30th of July. We're getting dynamic speakers like Umar Suleiman, Yasin Majahid, Hala Banani, Sheikh Yahya Ibrahim, our own Maulana Ibrahim and others. It's going to be a magnificent, make dua for it. Go to the website marriageconference.org, or they could phone me up and I could connect them to the right people, inshallah. And my last bit of advice, the last few days of Ramadan, and inshallah, let us make it the best days of Ramadan. Let us create harmony in your home. Do not be hypocritical, asking Allah to forgive you. At the same time, every day you're hurting people that you're supposed to love.
Jazakallah khairan, Idris bhai. Inshallah, we'll speak next week, inshallah.
Inshallah, you go well, Maulana. Allah bless you, look after you, protect you.
As-salamu. Wa alaikum as-salam wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. Yes, and that brings us to the end of our program today. And we shall be joining you next week, inshallah, subhanahu wa ta'ala. From myself and my studio operator, Brother Ziyad, wassalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.